Hello, friends, and welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast. It has been a little while since we've talked to you. Missed you.
We were pouting.
We were a little pouty. Let's just be honest. I'm sure you were too.
Sure, you all were waiting for a new podcast, but we just weren't ready to do one yet.
So here's the deal. We started this podcast, and our little motto, when I even wrote the blog, it was fans for fans. Like, we're fans. We're not media. Let's get that out there. Like, we're not media. We're not, like, the ones that do this for a living. We're taking every shot, just like you guys are. And you know what? We didn't feel like talking about it until now.
So it's been a while. It's been almost a month, but that's all right. We're ready to talk about it now. We're ready to move on. Ready to talk about the old season, talk about some new stuff. It's going to be a good podcast.
Yes, it is. And since you haven't heard from us in a while, I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, is Andrew. Andrew, you ready for this?
I'm ready for this. So it's the end of college basketball season, Kevin.
Yes.
But I think, as we've talked about on the podcast before, you and I have different seasons. So college basketball season takes up a good portion of our calendar year. But now we've moved into Game of Thrones season. So once college basketball season gets over, it becomes Game of Thrones season. And then that kind of bleeds into baseball. So the Royals are doing really well this year, so maybe baseball is going to start a little earlier for us. And then baseball gets over and it gets into fantasy football season, and then it goes right back to college basketball season. So that's kind of how we think about things. While it is Game of Thrones season, we will continue to provide Kansas sports coverage of the basketball team and even the football team as they get ready for the fall. So this is our off season, but there's two seasons when it comes to Kansas basketball: the regular season and then the second season, which is all about NBA draft and recruiting, and we've got a lot to talk about. But Kevin, give us a rundown and tell us everything we're going to talk about. Quite a few things on tap.
Absolutely. We got a season review. We're going to review just a little bit about this past season. We've had some time to sit back and reflect on the season. We'll talk a little NBA draft talk, as you mentioned, and a little bit of recruiting as well. Although I will give a little hint that we're going to have a podcast dedicated solely to recruiting here coming up very soon. So we're not going to talk a ton of recruiting. We're going to get a little bit today and then spend a whole podcast episode on recruiting next up. We're going to talk about the World University Games, Andrew. This is kind of an interesting topic we'll talk about throughout the offseason here, but of course, the University of Kansas basketball team will be representing the United States in the World University Games, and then we'll close with a little football talk. As you mentioned, that is the next sport up, other than, for at least for KU, other than our fantasy football season. We will also be talking about KU football, but
We're not going to talk a lot about Game of Thrones, though.
No, probably not. Not here. You know, this probably isn't the right medium, although there would be a interesting discussion talking about what characters are players in the Game of Thrones world, in the KU basketball world. We'd have to give that some thought, though. That might take a whole podcast.
All right, just to bleed over. The new episode was on Sunday. Who was the MVP of the episode? Let's just get one thing out there. There's a lot of people who are being turned off by this, but MVP, season 5, episode 1, Kevin, who you got?
Putting me on the spot here. I'm going to go with Jon Snow, the Kruh, because he stepped up into a little bit of a leadership role. I think he looks pretty good in the eyes of the wildlings. Let's move away from Game of Thrones talk, because I think we could spend a lot of time on this. And we're here to talk basketball, Andrew. Let's talk about the season in review.
You cannot hope or wish good things to happen. You go make them happen, because we are in attack mode for the entire 40 minutes. We do that, and we're going to have a fun locker room in about 2.5 hours.
Okay, so on this very podcast, it was either a year ago or 2 years ago, I asked you the question, what is the nightmare scenario for the Kansas Jayhawks? What, Kevin, keeps you up at night? And this was your response. I could have gone back and found this quote, but I didn't. But just trust me that it happened. And longtime listeners of the podcast will remember you saying this. But you said that what keeps you up at night, what your nightmare scenario is Kansas losing to Wichita State in the tournament. We are living that nightmare, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
We are living, you know, not living the dream. We're living the bad dream. Mm-hmm. And looks like the Jayhawks unfortunately lost to Wichita State in the second round, keeping us from going to the second weekend of the tournament for the second year in a row, you know, leading to, you know, what had turned out to be a disappointing end to the season. But I wouldn't necessarily say a disappointing season on the whole, even though it ended in a nightmarish fashion. We are living it. But, Kevin, let's just talk a little bit about the Wichita State game. What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's pretty obvious that the team that showed up was Wichita State and the team that didn't lost, and that was us. And it was just, I don't know if it was just a combination of they were a better team. Maybe they were. They certainly wanted it a whole hell of a lot more. And we could talk about this being their Super Bowl and whatever else you want to say, but you shouldn't have to need any motivation in the NCAA tournament. You shouldn't need that extra, you know, shot of adrenaline, but you know, 50-50 balls, everything you could possibly, you know, say about just energy and the desire to equal the playing field and ability and by controlling the things you can control, Wichita State just crushed us in every category.
I think you're right.
And that was annoying.
Just is not a fun game to watch. You and I tried to reverse jinx it by switching places in Las Vegas. That did not work. So sorry that we didn't figure out the correct luck scenario, folks at home. So we'll take part of the blame. But let's think about the season a little bit. We were 27-9. We did capture an outright Big 12 title and capture the number 2 seed. Kevin, was this season a success?
Here's the thing, like, was it a successful season? If you talk about it relative to other seasons, probably not. If you talk about it, you know, relative to most teams in college basketball, obviously it was a huge success. So it's really difficult because I think KU fans, you know, myself included, I fall into this, have gotten pretty greedy and pretty, I don't know. We have it pretty darn good. And if this is an unsuccessful season, you know, this is a pretty good place to be a fan of the team. But at the same time, you know, a successful season at KU is the same as almost every other blue blood, and that's a Final Four. And if you don't get it, a lot of people will say it's not a success. I'm kind of starting to get there. I don't know about you, but like winning Big 12 titles just isn't doing it for me anymore. I want to win some games in the tournament. We just
need a heavier drug.
Yeah, I do.
Big 12 titles are gateway drugs to something harder. you know, it's got to be a success. And we went over this before, and I went on a little, well, not a rant, but an explanation of why I think that we need to keep things in some perspective. And, you know, we did win an outright Big 12 title, which other places and other universities and other cities will absolutely throw parades for, will raise tons of banners for, will sell millions of T-shirts for. Here it kind of just comes and goes, and we need to kind of quit that mentality. So recognize that this was a Big 12 title championship team, and then a lot of hard work went into that. Now, the tournament sucked. It was not fun. It was terrible, and it's just not the way you want to go out with this team. But it kind of leads me to my next thing is that there was a lot of good things that went on this season, a lot of fun things, and some things not so fun, but what will you remember the most about this past season? Like, what's the most memorable thing? Or, you know, 10 years from now, and for example, 07, you know, you remember, oh, is that Mario Chalmers, Brandon Rush team that, you know, got a 1 seed finally and broke through and got to the Elite Eight? You know, but what are we going to be saying in 10 years about this season?
Man, I think the one thing that will jump out that I'll remember is just the Frank Mason, the rap song for one. Which we will probably be singing for like 20 years from now. And also just his play, because he just took an enormous step forward. And I'm really excited about seeing him continue to progress. Like, if he jumps anywhere near what he did from freshman to sophomore year, from sophomore to junior and senior year, like, man, he's going to be amazing. So
well, if he does that, if he has the same level of progression, he'll be Wilt Chamberlain by the time he's middle way through his junior year. I don't think that'll happen, but there was obviously some immense improvement and room for him to get better. I think he'll be contending for all Big 12 his last 2 years at KU, and he was quite the breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, watching the whole Cliff Alexander thing will be something everyone will remember too. Just how, you know, what could have been, you know, last year we'll remember what could have been with Embiid. This year I contend that, you know, what could have been with Cliff? Do we become a little bit of a different team if he continues to take steps forward, you know, the last third of the season, which I think he would have. And I think you thought the same thing and never got to see it. So, you know, we'll never know, but kind of a frustrating part there, but something I'll probably remember.
And on the same note, and this is a little bit of a more negative thought about it, or just something to think about anyway, is this the least memorable season of the Bill Self era?
A lot of people have been talking about that. I've seen,
and I don't mean worst team, and I don't mean it that way, but I'm talking about memorable.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that brought up quite a bit, and it's interesting because you know what. What makes a memory? Obviously, like great success or huge failure or some other, you know, event that happens. And I don't know that there's like a, you know, a ton that jumps out from this team. So, I mean, I can see that argument, but, you know, I don't know. I still really enjoyed watching this team. I really enjoyed watching them grow throughout the year and seeing especially like Frank Mason and Devontae Graham on the court together, you know, made you feel as a KU fan that, okay, you know, things are going to be okay. We got these two guys for the next couple of years together. And, but yeah, I mean, I can understand the argument that there wasn't anything like immensely awesome that happened or immensely negative that happened other than losing to Wichita State. So man, maybe that's enough. What
I
about
think
you?
That, I mean, I think the memory will be that we lost to Wichita State in the tournament. Yeah. I think that's the standout thing that sticks back from it. And obviously this team struggled a little bit from an identity perspective. I think both basketball wise and personality wise, I mean, because the year before, I mean, you certainly had, you know, the story around the team was the freshman with Embiid and Wiggins. And years in the past, I mean, you've had strong personalities like T-Rob and Tyshawn and Sharon and the Morris twins. This year, you kind of struggled, you know, from that person. And that has nothing to do with basketball in terms of, like, personality and story behind it. But it didn't have that strong connection like it had in the past, for good or for worse. Just something to think about. But on the whole, I think it will be a memorable season because it was a very talented team that won a Big 12 title, and that's a lot to ask a team. And like I said before, other places are having parades, raising banners. I don't think that we should have a parade, but we should still hold a special place in our heart for this 2014-2015 team. Okay, I've got a couple questions regarding awards for you, Kevin. I asked you earlier today if we should have awards, and you were a little not happy with me suggesting this as a segment. I think your response was, what did you say? I don't want to mess
up. I don't remember.
You said, no awards. Everyone was terrible.
No, everybody failed, I think.
Everyone failed. No awards. But I think you were in a little more negative headspace at that point. So, player of the year. Easy question.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's Frank Mason. I know Perry Ellis won the Mr. Basketball or Danny Manning Award or whatever, but I think Frank Mason was the MVP of this team. He took a huge step forward. I can't wait to watch him next year. And, you know, without him, man, I don't know where we would have been, especially that first half of the season. He carried us. So I'm going to go with Frank.
I'm going to go with the blender himself, Perry Ellis. Leader on the team in points, leader on the team in rebounds. I think he's got
a
shot. Is
he a leader on the team? Like, that's the thing that's...
No, leader in points and leader in rebounds. Not necessarily leader of the team.
But that's, like, one of the problems I have. And you brought this up just a second ago. You just said, you know, like, what this team struggle with identity. So you got the two best players, Frank and Perry, who don't say a word. You know, they're both quiet. Then you got Wayne Selden, who's probably the most vocal. But he sucks. Like, he had a terrible year. And I'm not saying he sucks, like, overall, but he had a terrible year. Like, the most, like, outspoken guy is probably Devontae Graham. Like, that's where we were this year. I don't know. We need somebody who's going to step up and be a vocal leader. I don't know who the hell it's going to be, but it needs to be someone who's reasonably good and also can, you know, be a leader. And I don't know. We need that next year.
We need to send Perry to swag camp.
Yeah, we
gotta go to swag camp.
He needs to get his tattoos that we talked about.
Get his tattoos, get swag camp, get him dressed up in some, I don't know, Sean John? Well, I'm just saying what Puff Daddy wears. Like, that's I don't have an answer. Just get him some tattoos, get him swag camp. I don't know what swag camp is, but somebody needs to event swag camp. Send Perry there and have him come back a changed man. Okay, I've got a couple more of these. This segment has gone off the rails a little bit. Surprise of the year, I'm going to go Frank Mason. We knew he was good, but we didn't know he was Frank Mason.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think that's probably the right one. I just to be different, I'm going to go with Devontae Graham because, you know, he came in as a very unheralded freshman. I mean, people are like, who's this guy? Why, you know, where is he ranked? And he came in and was probably, I mean, you can make an argument. He was one of the, if not, you know, the most successful freshman. He was a close second. Obviously, Oubre was very good. I don't mean to diminish what he did, especially that second half of the season. But, man, Graham earned his minutes, and he started playing a lot more of them late and deserved them. So, and was playing over Wayne Selden, our supposed leader.
All right, moving on. Disappointment of the year. I'm going to go with Cliff Alexander. Overall play, and then just the whole fiasco at the end of the year.
I'll get on board with that, and I'm not even just gonna limit it to Cliff Alexander. I'm gonna limit it to Cliff Alexander's family. Man, what are you trying to do? This poor kid. Like, I feel badly for him, man. Like, he was never in a position to succeed. Bill Self didn't put him in a great position to succeed. You know, I think he had a long term plan for Cliff that probably would have worked out. Like, I'm going to trust Bill to, you know, that he would have got Cliff playing great by the end of the season, just like he kind of worked with Kelly Oubre early and got him, you know, to turn the light bulb on, but he just never got that opportunity. And you know, the other opportunity is he didn't have the opportunity to come back and play at KU this year, which I think he probably would have because, you know, his draft stock obviously is pretty sucky, but, so yeah, very big disappointment.
Agreed. Okay, a couple other things. Funniest moments of the year. This is one I made up, just a little more lighthearted. And I didn't have an answer for it initially when I thought of the question, but I think there's only one answer.
I think there's two. Moment for me, I think I know where you're going, but the moment, I don't know if you saw that picture of Cliff Alexander from the bench where he was doing this look where he had his hand on his side. You know the picture I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. That was over Thanksgiving.
That was the most brilliant picture of a KU basketball player I've literally ever seen. And I don't remember what the context was, and I don't care. It was an amazing picture, and I will probably try to add it to this podcast. So if you have a iPhone or iPad, look down at your screen now. Hopefully you'll be able to see that picture. I got to dig it up. And I got to put a timestamp down. I got to write this down. What is your favorite funniest moment of the
year? It's this Frank Mason rap,
right?
When that dropped, the world of KU sports and basically the state of Kansas in general changed forever.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I was listening to Redhead's new album.
Oh really?
That just came out like last week. Yeah,
just a review. And any other hits?
The one like about the West Coast is good. I can't remember the name of it. It might just be like West Coast something. That one's good. We got to try to get him on the podcast. Maybe that'll be an off-season podcast. But no, it's pretty good. And he actually includes the Frank Mason song as an extra at the very end. It's the last song. So it's, oh, on, okay. It's on the album.
I thought he'd lead with that.
You would think, but...
So it's like a hidden track.
Yep. So there you go.
Okay. So that wraps up our discussion of the 2014-2015 KU basketball season. We hardly knew ye. I think it was overall successful season. I certainly had a blast watching this team. But alas, it is time to move on to the second season, as we like to call it. and discuss some NBA draft decisions and some recruiting, really just discussing how this team's going to look next year and the years to come. So let's start off. You want to start off talking about some NBA guys and what they've decided?
Yeah, you know, we obviously heard from Kelly Oubre and Cliff Alexander. Both have declared for the NBA draft. We heard from Wayne Selden, who issued a release saying he would be back in school. And Perry Ellis just last night at the old banquet there announced while he was receiving the award for Mr. Basketball or Mr. Jayhawk or whatever the hell it's called, announced that he would be back as well and got a standing ovation for that. So I guess I'll start with Kelly Oubre. You know, he was the first to declare. You've seen him projected to probably be around the last half of the lottery, maybe just outside of it. You know, obviously projecting to be a pretty good player in the NBA. You know, he's obviously got great length. What is he, taller than Cliff Alexander, I think we saw. But he's got great length. He's amazingly quick. He's developing a jump shot. And, you know, if he gets that toughness in him, I think he's going to be a great NBA player. At least, I don't, maybe great's the wrong word, but like a very serviceable NBA player. What do you think about Kelly Oubre's prospects in the association?
You know, I think he's being compared with guys like Justice Winslow. You know, even towards the end of last season or and end of this season, there was some debate about whether Kelly should be the highest ranked wing in the class, you know, above Justice Winslow. Now, you know, in the tournament, in the last 3 weeks of the season or so, Justice Winslow absolutely, you know, went off. And it has certainly taken his place above Kelly. But people have been saying that Kelly Oubre's got a higher ceiling than Justice Winslow, some higher skill set. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't take him a couple of years to really get the NBA game figured out that he can be a real productive player in the NBA. But I don't think he will be immediately. You know, he only scored 9 points a game, almost 10 points a game, and that was, you know, this season for the Jayhawks, but that was because a slow start and some weird minute situations, but he'll get there. I think it'll take him some time, but he's going to be a solid NBA player and someone who's going to represent KU pretty well. But another guy that's kind of in a different boat is obviously Cliff Alexander, declared for the draft under scrutiny from the NCAA. I guess my first question to you, Kevin, is Cliff ready for the NBA?
Man, none of these guys are ready. Like, that's a stupid question. Like,
well, compared
to
Kelly Oubre, compared to Jahlil Okafor, I mean, is he ready?
No, he's not ready, but neither of those guys, I mean, Okafor maybe, but, you know, like, none of these guys that declare early are generally ready. It's the wrong question to ask anymore. I'm not saying you're asking, because everybody asks it. But, no, he's not ready. It would have been nice to see him come back. He especially, because, I mean, the reason he didn't see the floor early was not because, you know, he wasn't any good. His numbers were off the charts. You know, all the numbers guys, we talked about this all season, were in love with Cliff's game. We're asking why he wasn't playing and all these things. But the reason he wasn't playing is because he didn't really understand basketball. Like, he didn't really get how to guard his position. He didn't really get, you know, the concepts. And if he can't understand Bill Self's system, he's not ready for the NBA. And that's really what it comes down to. He's got a lot of physical skills, obviously. He can, you know, I'm not sure he's going to be an undersized power forward, but he's still got one of those guys that could be a motor guy, a cleanup guy in the NBA. He's got a skill set that I think would be able to translate in some respect, but, you know, he's not ready. He's not ready. Hopefully he, you know, gets his opportunity, fits the right system. And honestly, like, would you be shocked if he's not on a roster next year? I mean, would you be shocked if he's on a D-League team all of next year?
Like, I mean, probably going to end up with the Reno Bighorns no matter what.
Yeah, there you go.
Either if he gets drafted, it'll be late in the first round or likely into the second round. And then it's just tough for him to do that. So another question that's kind of sidesteps it a little bit is, if there weren't these NCAA issues, would he be back at KU?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know his motivations. You know, obviously he was projected to be a one and done. It's so difficult for these guys to think that they're going to be one and done their whole life and then, you know, get to the point where they have to make that decision and someone tells them they shouldn't be a one and done. They should come back to school. And I mean, just think about that. That's, I feel like a disappointment, you know. You're on Twitter saying stuff like representing for my city, representing for my family. And then, you know, you're told, you know, you're a disappointment. You know, that's tough to take. And some guys will just go either way. We saw that with Josh Selby. He was going no matter what. And maybe Cliff would have gone either way. But, man, I'm sure he would have got some good advice to try to come back and really could have shot up the draft boards. You know, before the season, he was projected to what, like the third pick by all these draft nicks. And, you know, who knows if that was fair or not. Probably not. But they obviously saw potential at that point. So much has changed in a year. Man, I don't know. I think that he probably would have been back, but we'll never really know. What do you think?
Oh, I think he would have been. I think he recognized that he needed a little bit of extra work, and I think that a lot of the NBA player or NBA folks would have probably told him the same thing. I'm sure he went through all the typical checking with the NBA crew to see where he fits. And I bet that's what they're telling him, is that he probably needs some more work. And, you know, if you do decide, this is where you're going to end up. But I don't think he had a choice. I think if he would have stuck around, he wouldn't be on the floor. So a little bit of a disappointment for him. Well, probably for fans and for him generally. But, you know, he's turning pro. He'll probably make a little bit of money. He'll probably do okay. One thing I did want to ask is, what do you think Cliff Alexander's legacy is at KU? And that's a dumb question. I'm acknowledging it straight up that it is a dumb question to be asking about an 18 and 19-year-old kid. But like I said, he was one of the higher recruits KU has ever had at KU. I mean, we've only got a handful of number ones. Handful of number twos, you know, top five guys. And he's, you know, right up there. But definitely will not go down in KU's pantheon as one of its better players. How are we going to look back at Cliff? I mean, is a name like Josh Selby as a comparison warranted in this situation?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's just talking about disappointing, you know, highly ranked guys. You know, Josh Selby was rated number one by some recruiting agencies. Cliff was, you know, 1 to 3 in some places. You know, so you expect those guys to come in and be great. And the reality is sometimes those recruiting folks are wrong. Sometimes the fit is wrong. Sometimes they're just not ready to take that leap into the college game. But no, I mean, I don't know where he'll be and, you know, what we'll remember. But what I will think, what I do think is that he has become somewhat of a lightning rod for the KU fans that think that Bill Self is doing it wrong by recruiting these guys. Maybe we should talk about that for a second, because I'm sure if you're listening to this, you've heard the argument, and maybe you're even on the boat that thinks that one and done players are bad for Kansas or bad for Bill Self, that he needs to get back to his ways where he was recruiting guys that stuck around. And we saw, you know, obviously the 08 team was full of guys who were juniors and seniors, but you know what? Those juniors and seniors thought they were one and done players. It was like a different time, but they came in thinking they were one and done players. They were one and done talent. I mean, look at that roster. Those were 5-star guys. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Like, recruiting 5-star guys right now in this day and age, like even just 7 years later, if you're a 5-star recruit, you are told that you are going to be one and done. And if you're not, you are a disappointment. And so are we going to stop recruiting 5-star talent? Like, no, obviously not. That's why you hire Bill Self. That's why you know, have these massive recruiting budgets. So that's what, I don't know, it's kind of frustrating to me to hear these people say, you know, we need to stop recruiting one and duns. Well, look at the teams that were in the Final Four this year. I mean, does Duke win without one and duns? Obviously not. I mean, does Kentucky get there without one and duns? Obviously not. I mean, you got to have the talent. And Bill Self, you know, for all that he's done, that's great. He's got to figure out how to use these guys. And that's on him just as much as it is, you know, the one and done. I don't know. I can't get on board with the people that are saying we need to go recruit 3-star guys and coach them up. I'm not going to go after the best guys.
And even to talk about the other two teams, Bo Ryan was a little salty after the national championship game. Yeah. But, you know, I doubt he would turn down a 5-star player. And certainly Tom Izzo recruits one and done. He just didn't happen to have any this year. I mean, he just happened to. I mean, he just had a 5-star guy commit to him, and he recruited Cliff Alexander. Mm-hmm. So he would certainly do it. So I mean, you go after the best talent. I don't think we have a huge disagreement there. But let's move on from Cliff and talk about the guys who will be back next year. The first one we'll talk about is Wayne Selden, who did issue a statement saying he was staying at KU and not declaring for the draft. For some reason, I don't really think he needed to. There wasn't much danger of him leaving, but I think that's more of a Bill Self, let's treat these guys like they're elite, even if they had a bad season type of thing. Because I think that Wayne could put himself in a position to get drafted next year or after his senior year. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, the things that he needs to do, obviously, I mean, he's a jump shooter right now. Like, that's his, and he's not a very good one. Like, that's what his game has evolved into. And you watch his, like, high school tapes, and we've talked about this, like, a gazillion times. But, God, he looks so good in high school. And I swear to God, I have a tweet out there. I don't want to dig it up because I'm absolutely embarrassed by it. But I said, before we recruited, you know, when we had Wiggins and Wayne coming in, I said, I'm just as excited for Wayne Selden as I am for Andrew Wiggins. Like, that tweet is out there somewhere. Don't bring it up to me because I don't want to see it anymore. I hope maybe I deleted it, but I don't really delete tweets, so I'm sure it's out there somewhere. But man, he's totally different from what he was in high school. He's I think he has put on some weight. He doesn't show it as in like he's fat, but he's chiseled. He's huge. I mean, he's like power forward body type. And he's playing two guard, and it'd be nice to see him, I don't know, work on his quickness, work on his driving ability, being able to get some of that acceleration, being able to get some of that lift, that and explosiveness that you saw in, you know, when he was just 18 years old, just 2 years ago. And if he gets some of that back, man, I mean, I'm with you. I think he is an NBA talent. He's got the body type. He looks like an NBA player, but he's got to be able to use that strength and explosiveness, and just hasn't been there. He's been a jump shooter. He's been a bad one.
Unless he wants to go play running back, he probably.
Yeah, perfect. He'd be a strong safety. He'd be great at it.
Or it needs to, you know, use that to his advantage and bang around the basket a little bit better. But, you know, I'm excited to see Wayne come back. I think he's got a little chip on his shoulder, a little something to prove. And I think he'll spend the summer to get himself ready and have an exciting season next year. Just like this other gentleman who, it kind of came down to the wire for him, but Perry Ellis announced that he was coming back for his senior season. I think most people expected him to, but as Bill Self, I believe, said today, he doesn't think that a lot of people realized how close it was or how close he was to making the decision to turn pro. As he does come back, he's got a pretty big chance to set some records next year. He's, as a Jayhawk right now, he's got 1,157 points so far and needs 596 to jump into the top 10 of KU players of all time. So I did a little bit of math. I didn't check with StatBoy on this, but I think I did my work okay. If he averages 15 points a game and we play 40 games, which that means going all the way, that gets him into the top 10 all time. And if he keeps up his same rebounding rate from the past two seasons, and we do play 40 games, he could be in the top 10 of rebounding as well. So those are two pretty cool things for Perry to strive for. A couple things I want to address. And you wrote a blog post talking about Perry and Kesha and the NBA and a couple other things. That's kind of a moot point now. But just take like 15 seconds and explain to me your thesis on that.
Yeah, like you said, it doesn't matter now, but more my point was to introduce to fans that Perry was really thinking about going pro. Like Bill Self said it at the banquet, like everything I had heard from people that are close to, you know, that follow the program closely and are there, said that he and his family would have gone pro, except, you know, the knee injury and the early exit and just whatever else he just decided, you know, just wasn't right in terms of timing. But he was supposedly going pro. I mean, what I heard, the staff even thought he was going pro no matter what. And obviously that changed. Goodness, you know, thank goodness for KU. But my point was just basically that his value is what it is. We know who Perry is. Scouts know who Perry is. And And I'm not sure that coming back and being an all Big 12 talent again, which he probably will be, is really going to raise his draft stock any. So seniors, as you know, seniors, here's the other point, generally don't get drafted in the first round. And there's lots of reasons for that. There was some, I don't remember what it was, but an average of like 3 seniors were drafted in the first round in the last 2 years, and an average of 14 were drafted in the second round. So my point was that he's probably going to be a second round pick this year if he goes, and he's probably going to be a second round pick next year if he goes. So just go now, get that money, and get 1 year under your belt as a professional, learning what you have to do to your game to become a professional for a long time in basketball. But that's generally the point, except there were some Kesha lyrics and some other nonsense in there, which is, can't have a blog post without Kesha lyrics.
I think you can, but it always helps. It always helps to have Kesha. Okay, let's move on a little bit, talk about some newer guys. We've already got one guy committed in Carlton Bragg, but there are a handful of other guys out there who will probably be making their decisions in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to do a little more detailed one in our next podcast, but let's just, so we're familiar with the names, and I'm sure a couple of these guys will have made decisions in between now and then. But let's just do a rundown of who we have that's still considering KU. And the first one is Thon Maker, who is a center, 7 foot tall. He's currently out of Canada. Just quick impression of this guy. To me, this guy looks like either Kentucky or he's going over to Europe to play because of eligibility issues. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, that same thing. It'll be interesting to hear if he can even qualify. He's had like, wasn't he the one that's been to like 6 different high schools or whatever? But yeah, interesting talent. Obviously, he's a guy that, you know, we missed someone in the post to defend the basket this year. He would definitely fit that bill, but no, I don't feel very good about him in Kansas.
All right, a couple other quick hitters. Let's stick with the big guys. Cheick Diallo, he is a power forward, 6'9 guy out of New York. Hearing some interesting things about him, it looks like it's going to come down to us or St. John's. Optimistic about him. He could step in and probably play the 5. He did win the MVP of the McDonald's All-American game. Would be an interesting fit at KU. And then Steven Zimmerman, center from Las Vegas, Nevada. We've recruited this kid, I think, since he was 6 years old. Looks like he's going to come down to the wire, too. He's considering other folks like Kentucky and UNLV and Arizona.
Yeah, those two are going to be the interesting ones. You know, we obviously are in need of a big guy. We missed that piece a lot this year. It'll certainly help Perry a lot to have a decent 5 next to him. He'll get some more room to operate. You know, if we're going to continue to run Bill Self's system, we got to get one other post that can score. And I just don't think that guy's on the roster right now. Especially, you know, everyone loves Landon Lucas. Maybe he makes some crazy jump that, you know, we're not expecting, but it should be nice to see one of these two guys commit to KU. Zimmerman is the one that, you know, I'd really like to see. I think he's potentially a guy who could stay for a couple of years. But yeah, I don't feel really good about him either, but I'm pretty negative when it comes to recruiting. So like, don't take me, you know, fully seriously. And we're obviously not full-time recruitniks, but, I think it'll be tough to get him out of UNLV. And if so, Kentucky's, you know, lingering there, but Diallo is the one that, that's interesting. I think KU's got a decent chance there.
Also a couple other folks to just at least be familiar with, Jaylen Brown out of Georgia. 6'7", he is a scorer, and similar Malik Newman, his shooting guard out of Mississippi. Who knows what will happen with those two folks, just names to keep an eye out. And one other guy I wanted to talk about, another foreign guy who we're going to struggle pronouncing his name, a little dark horse guy that's kind of recently on the radar in terms of our radar, not necessarily Bill Self's radar, guy named, okay.
Go for it. You got this.
Georgios Papagiannis.
All right.
That's not that hard. Nick Papagiorgio from Yuma, Arizona. No, this guy is obviously from Greece. I think he plays for Panathinaikos. They're in Athens, Greece, but he's out of Westchester, Pennsylvania in terms of his high school. 7 foot tall, 235 pounds. Looks like he's got some skills as a big man, but Not necessarily as a basketball player yet, but Kansas would be the perfect place for him to develop these basketball skills. Just who knows about that guy? That is a recent addition to our radar. But there could be other guys coming off this list, being added to this list in the next couple of weeks. So it will be interesting to see.
Let's not forget Mike Thorne Jr.
Mike Thorne Jr., transfer from Charlotte. I think he's 6'11". One of those Tariq Black transfer gentlemen. I think he's visiting KU at the end of April.
That's the one that I think KU has a good chance at. Kentucky, he's got actually visiting Kentucky too, like actually pretty soon. But if we strike out on all these other guys, like if and we land, you know, Thorne, you know, that won't be too bad. You know, at least we'll have another decent post depth, and we got a lot of guards coming back. I could live with that. But obviously, man, it sure be nice to get one of these impact freshmen.
I think so, too. So let's keep an eye on that as we go back and kind of review how this roster is going to look for next year. We will do a podcast dedicated solely to recruiting and how this roster is going to shake out on our next episode. But let's talk a little bit about the summer and the World University Games. You know, as we were kind of going through the off season here, there's actually a lot to talk about. There's not going to be much of a lull period in terms of being a KU sports fan. We've got this little lull period now, but you know, recruiting going to start to pick up. Then we're going to have some NBA draft talk, and then into the summer, we've got this World University Games, which is, you know, a pretty huge tournament for KU to be playing right in the middle of the summer. If you don't know the full story, KU was selected to be the U.S. representative for the World University Games. That's between July 3rd and 14th this summer. A couple unfortunate things. Sviatoslav will not be able to play. And neither will Brandon Green, because we probably should have mentioned this earlier in the podcast. It is announced that he is having hip surgery. And will really be out until September. So he will not be able to play either. I don't know a whole lot about this tournament otherwise, other than it's going to be a great opportunity for our guys to get together and play some early games. And I think the rule is they can practice as many times as they want to get ready for this thing. So that's another added bonus.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, just last year you saw Kentucky be able to get together and play in those games. What was it, Puerto Rico or whatever? I don't remember what it was, but where they went down and got to play for, you know, a month before everyone else. That it's hard to even imagine how much that helps a team, being able to gel early, being able to have, you know, the opportunity to play together, you know, have coaching, legitimate coaching in the summer that you're not allowed to have otherwise. So, man, no, it's an awesome opportunity and really, you know, might be kind of one of those things that really, you know, halfway through the season, we go, man, I'm sure glad we had that. Like, look how much different this team looks than it did last year. You know, and obviously a lot of these guys have played together, you know, all this year. This is kind of the first time a lot of those folks really, you know, figured out their roles and just having one more year and having that summer under their belt. You know, I feel pretty good about next year. I think, I don't know, a lot of KU fans seem to be a little negative, but you know, even if we miss on all these recruits, just think about it. I mean, you got Frank Mason, you got Devontae Graham back, Wayne Seldon another year, and Perry Ellis. Like, you have those guys right there, and Sviatoslav Mikhailuk might be our best recruit, if you think about it. Like, consider him a five-star recruit that we just haven't had. I mean, he'll turn 18, and he will finally be, you know, maybe the guy that that we heard about and hopefully get an opportunity. I just really like this team. I think it'll be nice to have some depth
and some continuity as well. I mean,
exactly.
There's been, several times in the past 5 years or so where Bill Self's had to replace all five roster spots. Certainly has to replace Kelly Oubre in the starting lineup, but everybody else comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited about it.
With addition of some more talent. So yeah, it'll be cool to see how this kind of, this World University thing works out in Korea. We would be remiss if we did not talk a little bit about KU football, Kevin. Uh-oh. Before we left, I don't have a lot to say because I don't know a lot about it, but I do know that the spring game, April 25th at 1 p.m., and that's it. Get excited!
Are you going?
I don't know. Probably. I don't know.
About it. I'm thinking about it.
That'd be fun to see. I've kind of kept up a little bit with how they're running practice, and it seems like they're doing that. Get as many plays in as you possibly can. You know, quick tempo, get 90 plays in 90 minutes types. I'm making those numbers up. But that's kind of how some NFL teams do it and some other big-time college teams do it, as opposed to, I don't know what Charlie did, but I'm pretty sure Charlie was not that intense.
I am all in on the Beatty Bowen bandwagon.
Beatty Bowen bandwagon.
I am all Booyah. In, 100%. Everyone out there, you should get all in. We're going to be effing terrible this year. I mean, we may not win a game this year. That is legitimate. But stick with them. This team is going to be good. I'm telling you, bowl season in 3 years. We predicted that on here. At least I did.
Get excited.
I'm excited. I really am, man. I really am. I actually just talked to my ticket guy in the Williams Fund just today, making sure that we're all sitting together. We got our tailgate all set up. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little excited for some football, even though we are going to be terrible this year. I mean, let's not like beat around. Like, we're going to be really bad in terms
all
of
right,
win-loss.
KU football team, get a picture of Kevin, print it out, put it on your bulletin board, put a little speech bubble. This guy's calling you out.
That's what they need. That's exactly
but I think that whether you think that or not, I think that we're both on board with Bowen taking this team in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And as we learn more about KU football, we will probably tell you all what we know. But at this point, we don't know a whole lot, do we?
No, not a lot. I mean, we're learning a little bit about their style that the coaches are trying to bring in. Learning a little bit about, you know, the kind of guys that they're trying to recruit, learning a little bit about the caliber of guys they're trying to recruit. I mean, we're bringing in some pretty interesting recruits, pretty highly rated. We have a chance to, you know, when we brought this staff on, I mean, that was the one thing we talked about, is they should be pretty darn good recruiters. So that's a good start. And then hearing a little bit about the philosophy of the way that they want to build players, you know. They want the quicker linemen. They want to be able to not the big, huge guys. They want guys that can move. And I don't know. It's a whole different mindset. Very different from Charlie, obviously. But I'm very excited about it.
Okay, Kevin, let's just give a little rundown of how we're going to go about episodes in the future. I can't guarantee we're going to do one every week, but we're going to try to come to you regularly. Is that the mm-hmm. plan?
That's the plan.
So we want to do the recruiting one next time. We may know some information about where guys are going. We may have a better idea, or we may know absolutely nothing by the time we bring that to you. But obviously, I think in between now and, you know, the start of football season, we want to try to have a couple more guests on, and we're working on getting those folks on. Going to talk a lot about the World University Games, a lot mm-hmm. about probably the NBA draft and where Kelly and Cliff are going to go, and probably touch on quite a few other subjects. Probably not a lot of Game of Thrones. This was the one time thing.
We'll leave that
but,
alone.
But I think that we're going to have some fun here in the off season, bringing you some KU content. So I hope you stick with us through the summer, and we'll be right back to basketball before we know it.
That's right. And if you don't mind, take just a second, log on to your little iTunes there. Leave us a comment, rating there on iTunes. It helps us get the podcast out to new listeners. If you want to catch us on the Twitters, I am at Jayhawk Talk. Andrew is at Sherlock Hoops. We will be talking all things KU throughout the off season. Interact with us. Ask questions. We are excited to be talking KU stuff all throughout the season. If you have an idea for a podcast or a guest, hit us up with that too, because obviously in the off season we'll be talking all kinds of crazy stuff. We'll be trying to get some previous players, some staff members, some interesting guests that we can dig up, and hopefully it'll be some fun here in the off season. So reach out to us on Twitter, Jayhawk Talk and Sherlock Hoops. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best.
But I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.